Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the preview spotlight for the October 2012 previews. These items should start hitting shops sometime in December 2012. We have an open submission policy. We do these episodes every month. Obviously, you're listening to this one now, so you'll get a feel for what the clips tend to sound like. But what we encourage our listeners to do, and fellow podcasters, creator of comics, marketing people of comics, people of all shapes, sizes, and interests, we encourage them to find comics they're passionate about and just send us a short clip, a couple of minutes, a minute or two even, and just say, you know, in this previews, there is this book, here's why it's great, you really ought to be picking it up. And the whole point is to generate the interest and the awareness at the point in time that people like us who pre-order comics through, in this case, DCBS, but there are other places like Mail Order Comics and stuff. Mail Order Comics also has a PDF of the previews file, which is awesome. But not only do some of us readers pre-order our comics, but all the comic stores do. So if you've got a local comic shop you love, by all means, please support them. And if they've got a pull list, now is the best time to be telling them about the comics you're interested in that are going to come out in December. Because that way they can actually order enough copies. Because maybe it's an obscure independent that they're not thinking about getting. Maybe it's not a brilliantly selling DC or Marvel title they're not thinking about getting. So our whole game plan here is to give people a forum to talk about the comics they love, to help them sell better, to help readers find books that they're going to love, because really, that's the whole point about reading comics, is just the enjoyment of reading.
Yeah, and you know, the real thing here is, if you know, you think, oh, it's really hard, I've never done a recording before, it's actually pretty easy. I mean, the software that you can use for it's available free on the internet. It's pretty easy to use. John's got a sticky thread on the forum that explains how to do it. And all you really need is some kind of a microphone for your computer. A lot of computers come with a mic. If you don't, you can get a headset mic, a USB mic, which we talk about on that thread also, that, you know, $20-$30 in your setup, and you can use it for Skype calls. And, you know, Skype is free too. You can talk to people all around the world on Skype. You can come and talk to us on Skype. It's fun. You know, a couple of times a month we get together and talk about comics on Skype, and anyone's welcome to that call also. So getting a headset is a fun way of adding that to your repertoire of internet stuff, and it's generally easy to participate in the previews episode. So don't let I've never done it before stop you, because you know we've got some really good clips from people who hadn't done them before, and then they keep on sending. You know, you hear some of the same people every month, but we're always open to whoever wants to let us know about something, because, you know, that's what it's all about, is us sharing with one another what we love in comics. That's why John and I do this show.
Yeah. And if the technical side of doing the clips is a problem for you, email us. Let us know. We'll see what we can do to help, because we want this to be a conversation about comics, not just two guys pontificating on a podcast. Our whole goal here is to share the enjoyment of comics and help see comics succeed as a storytelling medium. So, shall we start listening to this month's clips?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Hello, fellow comic book fans. This is Jack Patton, otherwise known as Gilgabob on the forums. I haven't submitted in a while, but I got a couple here this month that I'd like to talk about. The first being, right away here in the beginning of the book, Hellboy in Hell number 1 in the Dark Horse section, page 32. Hellboy returns. He's sacrificed himself at the end of his last series to save the world, and now he finds himself in hell with some familiar faces, and the main familiar face is the return of Mike Mignola to interior work on his own book here, so that's kind of cool. Has not done interiors in many years, and he's doing the whole book, and kind of looking forward to that. So if you'd like to check this out, it's only $2.99 for 32 pages, half price at DCBS this month. If you're a fan of the Mignola verse as I am, check out Hellboy in Hell number 1.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, a fan of this podcast, and a comic book I'm looking forward to getting is called To Hell You Ride, and it's from Dark Horse Comics on page 34 of your previous catalog. And it's written by Lance Henriksen and Joseph Mendre, with art by Tom Mandrake. Now, the description is as follows. A deadly curse plagues the small town of Telluride, melting the flesh from its victims. The violent revenge, four warriors set in motion. Their sacred burial grounds were disturbed for the sake of gold miners' greed. And DCBS has this on special for $1.99, regular price being $3.99. I think this is going to be a good new horror story, as Dark Horse tends to do a good job with these types of things, and I think you should check it out. Thanks, Bob and John.
Hey all, it's Joe with Tax Advice Guys, my first pick of the month, coming to you out of the Dark Horse catalog on page 56, Star Wars Infinity's Omnibus. This omnibus collects the three different Infinity stories set in the Star Wars universe. Now, some people are probably asking, what are Infinities? Well, Infinities are essentially what-if stories. In this case, what if the Death Star wasn't destroyed, or what if Leia turned to the dark side of the Force? Dark Horse published three of these from the original trilogy, and this omnibus brings all three into one nice little collection. DCBS has this at a 40% discount, which means you can get it for just $14.99. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to the guys.
And on page 106, we've got a new story arc in Justice League Dark number 15. It's written by Jeff Lemire and Ray Fox, with art by Michael Janin. Trapped in a technologically advanced dimension where magic is outlawed and magic users are hunted and executed, the team must find Zatanna and Tim Hunter within 48 hours or be trapped there forever. I've been really liking Justice League Dark. I came back onto this title after dropping it early on. I came back when Jeff Lemire started writing it, and he has been knocking it out of the park, at least as far as my tastes go on reading this title. If you have not tried out Justice League Dark, might be worth giving it a look. If you like that darker corner of the DC Universe, you can check it out this month if you're a DCBS customer for 50% off. It's on page 106, DC section of the Previews catalog.
Next up on page 111 is Demon Knights number 15. This, I think, is the last issue written by Paul Cornell. Hopefully we keep the artist Bernard Chang, who's been doing a great job on that title. But in this issue, they promise that everything changes. Now, with a new writer next issue, that's probably not a bluff. Or maybe it's everything changes at the end of this and the start of the next. I don't know. Anyways, I think Demon Knights is one of the more unique titles in the new 52 lineup, being set in the past, more of a sword and sorcery kind of a title. It's had a lot of great stuff. It's a very fun title. Paul Cornell has been doing a great job on it. I'm hoping that the quality keeps up with the change in creative teams with the following issue. And this promises a connection between Demon Knights and Stormwatch, as they've been hinting to in a number of issues. It promises a big battle. And it raises the question of what happens next, or the question of when will something happen next, I guess. So they could be changing the time frame for Demon Knights even with the next issue. I don't know. There's also more with the Black Diamond, which is of course tied in with Eclipso that we're going to see in a number of titles in the coming months at DC. Demon Knights, I think, is one of the ones that's flown under a lot of people's radar, which is too bad. It's a great title, one I've really been enjoying and do recommend. Once again, that is Demon Knights on page 111. DCBS has that, I think, at a 50% discount, taking the $2.99 cover price down to about $1.49 or $1.50.
Hey all, it's Joe with Tax Advice Guys, my second pick this month. Coming to you out of the DC Comics section on page 125, Batman, The Night of the Owls hardcover. Now, when someone does a collection correctly, I think they need to be applauded and pointed, and it needs to be pointed out. I think DC is doing a phenomenal job putting this crossover together. Whether or not you actually liked it, just the way of how they're putting it out, I feel needs to be pointed out. They're putting all the individual issues that happened in this crossover event into one collection. You don't have to worry about getting Nightwing in a Batman collection if you're not wanting to read Nightwing. Or if you want the whole story, it's here in one shot. You don't have to collect different trades of comics that you might not already be reading. This is a phenomenal job on DC's part, and I really applaud them for it. This collection is $29.99 normally. DCBS has it, of course, at a 50% discount, so you can get the whole thing for just $14.99. That's over 13 comics. That's almost, or just over, a dollar an issue. It's a really great collection that I'm personally going to add to mine because I did like this story, and I hope that if you enjoyed it as well, you'll pick this up. Thanks, I'm going to turn this back over to the guys.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from LordShaper.com with my first pick for the month, which is on page 140 in the Vertigo section, which is the Global Frequency trade paperback. Now, originally Global Frequency came out through Wildstorm back in the day, and after the 12 issues were released, it came into two trade paperbacks, which I actually have sitting up on the shelf at the moment, and now they've actually combined the two of them to put into the one book itself. So if you've ever been after it and you've never really sort of caught on to it or never really started with it, so this is probably the time to actually start and have a look at it. It was written by Warren Ellis. There was numerous artists throughout the whole thing, so I'm not going to go through all the ones there, but to be honest, it was fantastic art. Also, if you remember, there was actually a TV pilot that was, well, the pilot was released, but that was all that was ever released because it got leaked onto the internet and they decided to actually shut down the actual show from there. So the idea is there is 1,001 people throughout the world who are on this global frequency, which is they're all experts in their field. They all do numerous different things. They all have access to different technologies, sciences. They all have their own skill set. And basically, if something's going wrong in the world, they actually get a call basically saying, you need to do this. That's really as much as I really want to go into it. For those who haven't read it, for those who did read it back in the day, you're going to love this sort of thing. So you've, as it says here, you got from bioweapons to parkour running to all sorts of things. You've got mobile vidphones. It's all sorts of wonderful things going on there. And each actual issue was its own set story. So it was one part of this global frequency. So if you haven't seen it before, if you've been interested with it, this is the way to pick it up. It's going to be $19.99, 288 pages, and it's on page 140. So I'll let you go back to Bob and John. Hey guys, it's Damien back from LordShaper.com with my next pick for the month, which is in the IDW section on page 153, which is The Crow, Skinning the Wolves, number 1 of 3. This is James O'Barr returning to The Crow. So I'm all for picking up a new series for it, so it's actually going to be the first of a three-part series. It is a new Crow story with a new Crow, but this one's set in 1945. It's actually set in a concentration camp, so it's going to be interesting to see what sort of things are going on there or how he's going to go from that. So I've been a Crow fan, and I'll have to say it, I saw the movie before I actually read the comic, but since then, I actually went back. I got the original trade from there, from Kitchen Sink, I think it actually came out with. I've got all of the other issues that they brought out, all the mini-series of all the different Crows that came out from there. So I'm going to be jumping on this one. So you've got James O'Barr writing. You've got James O'Barr and Tim Gerry doing the art on there. And the cover's also done by James O'Barr. So how can you go wrong? He's getting back into it. He's been getting back into what he actually created way back when, and yeah, it looks to be something really interesting, so I'm going to be jumping on this. As I said, it's going to be $3.99, 32 pages, and check it out on page 153. I'll let you get back to the guys.
And on page 169, we've got The Hollows, number one. This is written by IDW publisher Chris Ryall, and it's art by Sam Keith, who I've been looking forward to seeing some new work from Sam for a long time. I was a big fan of his series The Max, as well as Zero Girl. And now we have a new story where Sam and Chris transport us to a near-future Japan, where burned-out husks, the Hollows, wantonly devour souls throughout the city. Far above, a segment of society lives safely in giant tree cities, but the problems below have a way of growing out of control. We've got some sample art here on page 169. Very Sam Keith, very cool. If you are a fan of Sam Keith, you will check this series out on the strength of his art alone, which is exactly what I'm doing here. Special discount from DCBS, 50% off, so you can pick this book up for $1.99 if you're a DCBS customer. Even if you're not, reserve it at your comic shop and check out the wonderful Sam Keith art. Check out the interesting story concept by Chris Ryall, and it will be hitting shops in December.
Next up on page 182 is Mara number 1. This is the first of a 6-issue miniseries by Brian Wood, with the art and cover by Ming Doyle and Jordi Belair, one of the two. Sorry if I mispronounced. On pages 183, 184, and 185, we get a couple of pages of the art. We don't have any dialogue or captions, so we don't quite know what's going on. But nice, clean artwork. Looks like a lot of fun. The premise here is it's set in a, near future kind of a world where sports and physical prowess apparently are highly valued commodities, presumably more so than they are in the real world, which is pretty impressive because, I mean, let's face it, athletes are superstars these days. And we follow young Mara Prince, who is a celebrity athlete who on live TV develops supernatural abilities, which of course catapults her into a new level of superstardom or whatever, and puts her right in the crosshairs of probably almost everything going on in the world, I would imagine. It promises themes of superpowers, celebrity worship, corporate power, feminism, political brinksmanship, the whole nine yards. Brian Wood, very, very talented writer. Based on the strength of the writing alone, I was interested in this. Looking at the art pages, nice clean style that really kind of clicks with my tastes. Very much looking forward to this. Again, 6 issues. It's a $2.99 cover price. DCBS has this at a 50% discount, so it's $1.49 for that first issue. I'm going to pre-order probably the entire series, but I certainly recommend people check out the first issue. Brian Wood has done a lot of great things, and this is no doubt going to be just yet another one in a long series of successful miniseries and limited series and ongoings that he's done. So, Mara number 1 from Image Comics on page 182. Check it out.
And next up on page 186, we've got Hip Flask or Boris. This is a one-shot, well, it's actually a continuing story in the Hip Flask series. Now, Hip Flask is one of the stars of Richard Starkings Elephant Men series, and Hip Flask actually came out before Elephant Men. There was a short series. It had the first issue was Unnatural Selection. The second issue was Elephant Men, from which the Elephant Men series was spawned from that idea. And then the third was Mystery City. So Ouroboros is solicited here as the penultimate issue in the series, which means it's the second to the last, and that's in the Hip Flask series. Sahara is dead, but both Hip and Obadiah Horn are determined to save her. This has art and a cover by Ladrone, who is the same artist who did the previous Hip Flask stories, the previous three. So this seems to be a series that Richard is doing with Ladrone. Wonderful art. In fact, Ladrone won an Eisner Award for his work on Hip Flask Mystery City. So it's definitely worth checking out. If you have not seen any of this before. Well, if you get the hardcovers of Elephant Men, these stories have been reprinted in the hardcovers. So, you know, Richard does a really great job of keeping the Elephant Men world very accessible in hardcover and trade paperback. And he's great to see at a convention. He's at many of the conventions. So go out of your way to see him and support the books. If you'd like to check this one out, it is 50% off through DCBS. It's a 48-page comic. It's $5.99, but you'll be able to get it for half price or $2.99 from DCBS this month. It's on page 186 of the previews catalog, and there's some sample art on page 187 for you to check out.
Hi everyone, this is Jack Patton again. I've got one more submission this month. Page 202 in the image section, I'm looking at Body Bags Volume 2 Trade. This is a series by Jason Pearson. This is not really new. This is from like the mid-2000s, 04, 05. I think this series, the second, came out here, which includes the Three the Hard Way miniseries and the one-shot special. Body Bags is a story of a mercenary killer for hire named Clownface and his 14-year-old daughter, Panda, who's kind of constantly seeking his approval, trying to join him in his escapade, shall we say. That's kind of a cool story. I always kind of hoped that this more would have came. Jason Pearson would have put out more of this, but it's kind of cool to see this trade released. I have not read this, so I'm looking forward to picking it up. It's $12.99 for 112 pages. $7.79, I think it is, at DCBS. So check out Body Bags, Volume 2 from Image.
Next up, we jump over into the Marvel catalog and go to page 2 for Thunderbolts number 1. This is written by Daniel Way with art by Steve Dillon. This is yet another new take on the Thunderbolts. We've gotten a couple of different takes over the years. And this time, what's interesting is they're led by General Thunderbolt Ross, a.k.a. the Red Hulk. He's going to team up with a couple other characters. It's going to be Deadpool, Venom, Elektra, and the Punisher. And what's interesting is all of them basically wind up in black and red costumes, giving it that whole theme kind of a deal. It looks like it's going to be a much more, we'll say, aggressive preventative maintenance take on crime fighting, I think, where they go take care of problems before they kind of get out of hand. And, I mean, let's face it, we've got the Punisher, who's known as more of a shoot-first, ask-questions, well, maybe not even ask-questions. Elektra, somewhat of an assassin. We've got Deadpool, who certainly is not afraid to go kill people and get them out of the way. Venom, less of a hardcore character in that respect, but certainly I think could fit in that area. It's an interesting mix of characters. All of them have had successful runs in the past, so I think teaming them up could make for a good series. And, you know, using the Thunderbolt's name, again going back to Thunderbolt Ross, kind of makes sense. And I think it'll stand apart from a lot of the other team titles at Marvel. I'm looking forward to it. Again, Steve Dillon on art's always fun. He's got a nice, clean style. This looks like it may be a little more of a violent series than I tend to like, but I doubt it's going to be overly gory, but I could be wrong on that. It's got a parental advisory. Alas, I'm old enough to make my own decisions, so I'll get it anyways. Like there was any doubt. Anyways, this has a $2.99 cover price, which is somewhat unique for a Marvel book these days, but very nice. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this. That's going to bring the cover price down to a much more manageable $1.49. If you're interested in these characters, again, Red Hulk, Venom, Elektra, Deadpool, and the Punisher, I think this is worth checking out.
Hey all, it's Joe with Tax Advice Guys with my last pick of the month, coming to you out of the Marvel Now catalog, page 6 and 7, Avengers number 1 and number 2. Yep, I've fallen for the trap, guys. I think this is going to be a phenomenal new adventure in the Avengers. They're mixing both mutants and regular Avengers, and some of the mutants they've chosen seem to be pretty interesting choices. Sunspot, Cannonball, these aren't two names I normally think of when I'm thinking of the Avengers or even high-profile mutants, but they might be excellent choices. I think it's going to be a very good mix, and I'm a big fan of Jonathan Hickman and how he's mixed things with Fantastic Four and FF. Looking forward to seeing what he does now with the Avengers. DCBS has this at a 40% discount for issues 1 and 2, $2.39 each. With that, I turn it back over to the guys, and I'll see you all next month.
Hello, Trevor Chapman here from Brampton, Ontario, Canada, producer of the Monox Comic Briefing podcast, and my first pick for the October previews for comics shipping in and around January of 2013, barring that whole, you know, Mayan calendar stuff. My first pick can be found on page number 9 of the Marvel Comics preview insert, Cable and X-Force number 1 by Dennis Hopeless and Salvador LaRocca. It is a $3.99 comic. It's shipping twice in the month of January, as tends to be how Marvel is handling all their Marvel Now stuff. What intrigues me about this comic is it's going back to the original X-Force team, for those of us that were around and reading comics at that time, headed up by Cable with his trusty right-arm girl in this case, which is Domino. Now, the team is, according to the picture, made up of Forge, Colossus, and Dr. Nemesis from the Team Science from the recent X-Men stuff. I'm really interested in what they're going to do with Forge. I always thought Forge was an amazing potential for a character, in the fact that his mutant power is to pretty much build anything that needs to be made, including a nullifier that turned his one-time girlfriend into powerless. Going back many ways. Anyways, back point. So I'm really interested in some aspects of the Marvel Now series. This is one of them. I'm going to give Cable and the X-Force a try. I suggest it's at least worth, you know, dipping into it, just like we all did for the DC non-reboot. We should also try to do for the Marvel non-reboot, and try to change up what we're thinking of buying and not buying. Anyways, I'll be back in a bit.
Hey guys, it's Damien here with one of my few and far between looks into the Marvel previews. This is one that, yes, I know you're not expecting me to be here. This is on page 45, and it is The Amazing Spider-Man 699.1. Yes, you heard me right. It's The Amazing Spider-Man 699.1. Okay, I'm not a Spider-Man fan. I've made no, you know, everybody knows, if you know me, you'll know that I do not like Spider-Man. I've read very few Spider-Man books over the years. I've read some of the ones that people say are classics. I've read, you know, some of the poor ones. It's not something I go out of my way to get. But this one I am going to go and get for one reason only. This is the return of Morbius the Living Vampire. So Morbius next month has a new series coming out, which I will be getting. But this is actually the return of Morbius, and sort of where everyone's sort of saying you need to start getting it. So I'm going to recommend it just for that reason. I've been a Morbius fan since the 90s when I sort of started with the Midnight Sun stuff. And I will be picking this up and then getting the ongoing series as of next month. As for the current story, all the information here about his with Dr. Octopus's schemes taking shape, to be honest, I don't know anything about them. This is all about Morbius for me. So if you're a Morbius fan like me, if you're a Midnight Suns fan like me, you know, I'd recommend picking this up because this is where Morbius returns. Okay then, I'm pretty sure the guys will be able to tell you more about it than what I can otherwise, but I'm going to let you go back to them. Okay then, talk to you later.
And the next selection is a bittersweet one for me. I've been a longtime Spider-Man fan, and The Amazing Spider-Man is ending with issue 700. Well, it's ending. They're going to be starting a new issue the following month. But the solicit text is a very expansive last issue. It's 104 pages. It's all new. It's $7.99. We've got Dan Slott and Humberto Ramos are the main writers. We also have stories by J.M. DeMatteis, Giuseppe Camuncoli, and Jen Van Meter, and Stephanie Buscema. We've got a bunch of variant covers if you're into that sort of thing. But what's really interesting to me is, you know, what's going to come next. You know, Marvel now has been changing everybody around, and next month we're going to get, you know, there's more in the press release for the next issue about this issue than in the solicit for this issue. So I'll go into that a little bit. It says, the wall-crawling superhero and Marvel Comics icon is the natural star of the brand new Superior Spider-Man series launching in January. It replaces Amazing Spider-Man following a landmark 700th issue that had an enormous change, which is an all-new development for the decades-old character and will result in a far darker Spider-Man than fans have ever seen, promises Dan Slott, the Amazing Spider-Man writer who's heading up Superior Spider-Man. The one thing that does not go with this new Spider-Man is the term friendly neighborhood. That's gone. So, something is going to happen to Spider-Man in issue number 700 that's going to pretty much change him from the happy-go-lucky guy into the new, darker Spider-Man than we've ever seen before. Well, it was bound to happen. They took a very dark Daredevil and they changed him into a happy-go-lucky swashbuckler of Mark Waid's run, so we gotta flip the switch and make Spider-Man get all dark. We'll see how that goes with the Marvel now, but what it does tell me is that there's going to be something interesting happening in issue 700 that is promised to be very landmark, so might be worth checking out. This is, again, $7.99. It's half off at DCBS, so that $7.99 will turn into $3.99 for a 104-page comic book. I'm going to be checking this out. I'm very interested to see what happens to my favorite superhero, Spider-Man, in what is, for now, until I'm going to guess they get to issue 750, at which point they will renumber it back to Amazing Spider-Man, but we will no longer have Amazing Spider-Man, we will have Superior Spider-Man after this.
Next up on page 238 is New Crusaders Rise of the Heroes number 5. Now, I talked about the first issue of this a couple of months back, and that was kind of a gathering the team. This starts the second major story arc for this title, and basically the Brain Emperor, the villain that killed the mighty Crusaders, the parents of the New Crusaders, has invaded the Zip prison, Z-I-P, I have no idea what that stands for, but he's unleashed a massive riot, presumably of supervillains, and these are the only heroes left, so they've got to go save the day. Now, I've been enjoying what I've been reading of the New Crusaders. It's very much an all-ages-friendly approach to superheroes. It's, I would classify it as kind of a, you know, a 1980s style with a little lighter tone. I mean, they're touching on quasi-serious issues, but this is not grim and gritty by any stretch of the imagination. It's some good action-adventure. This is something you could put in front of a young kid and not traumatize them. I think they'd enjoy it. As a full-fledged adult, or at least as a much older adolescent, maybe I should say, for myself, I'm really enjoying this. I'm finding it satisfying. It's got some depth. It's telling some fun stories. It's doing a good exploration of the Red Circle group of superheroes. You know, the Fly, Jaguar, S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, all of those. And these are characters that are similar to a lot of the iconic Marvel DC ones, yet, you know, unique enough, because they were, again, some of the original ones out there. I'm really enjoying this. Is it for everybody? Yeah, probably not. If you want the grim and gritty, if you're into the Punisher Max stuff, this is on the other end of the spectrum. However, if you want a comic that you can read with your kids, or just a lighter tone on something, which is what I really enjoy on it, this is a kind of a more innocent take on superheroics, if you will. You get the action adventure without all the angst, the pain, the blood, the gore. I think Archie is doing some great stuff with this. I hope they can keep it up for quite some time. Basically, what they're doing is they're serializing it as, like, I don't know, 8 or 10 page installments or whatever on the web as digital comics first. They're collecting, I guess, 4 of them at a batch. That becomes an issue. So I think you get a reasonable amount of content. They're telling some good stories. It's a coming-of-age thing for these characters. It's something that I think a lot of people would just pass by because it's hidden at the end of the Archie section. But if you like superhero comics and you want one with a bit of a lighter tone, if for nothing else than just a palate cleanser between, you know, the grim and gritty DC and Marvel stuff, this is an excellent choice and one I totally recommend. It has a $2.99 cover price. It's got a 50% discount through DCBS, dropping it to $1.49. Again, this is issue 5, the start of the second story arc, and you can find it on page 238 of the previews catalog.
Next up on page 242, we've got Executive Assistant Assassins, number 6. The Extinction Begins. We have a new Extinction crossover. Previously, we had the Extinction Agenda, and that was a really good series. John and I both loved that, and now we have Executive Extinction. It's kicking off with this all-new story arc featuring Lily, one of the most popular characters in the Executive Assistant universe, as she attempts to piece together some semblance of a normal life while fighting to protect it from those who would seek to end it. Enter Mazutsu, the arm dealer mastermind who has sworn to eliminate all executive assistants at any cost. And the biggest surprise for Lily comes as she discovers one of her trusted allies is working for those who want to capture her. This will be spinning through Executive Assistant Assassins and Executive Assistant Iris. Relatively small, self-contained storyline. But I really enjoy the Executive Assistant Assassins and Executive Assistant Universe in general from Aspen, so I'll be checking this out. We've got Vince Hernandez telling the story. He's a great writer. I've loved what he's done with these characters before. Art's by Jordan Gunderson, inks by Charlie Mock. And it's on page 242. We can check this one out if you're a DCBS customer for 50% off. That'll get it to you for $1.99.
Trevor Chapman here again. And my last pick, yes, 2 whopping picks this month, is outside the Marvel Previews insert. It's on page 245 in the main Previews catalog under the Avatar section. Caligula. Heart of Rome, number 1 of 6, written by David Lapham with art by German Noble. They recently for Avatar, they did a great limited series around Caligula as emperor. And as we all know, Caligula was disposed of emperor by his Praetorian Guard. Now, in actual history, he was murdered and slain and vanished, and in the comic book the supposition was that the same happened. However, they've decided to go that step further, and just like in regular comic books, in this comic book he didn't die. So he's returning, and he's basically a power-hungry, insane person who thinks he has the power of a god and possibly has some interesting supernatural capabilities. It's really graphic, it's really bloody, it's really violent, and it's a very interesting study in madness, for lack of a better phrase. So, for those of us that are big fans of Avatar and of David Lapham and some of the great work he's been doing with Ferals and that kind of stuff, I suggest you you pick up the previous trade, which is offered here again on the same page, and then you start picking up this limited series. So thank you very much, Bob and John and Chris, and keep up the great podcasts, and hopefully next month I'll have more for you. Take care, guys. Bye.
Hi, this is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast, DBM on the forum, with a pick for the month here. We have on page 246, Ferals Volume 1, trade paperback from Avatar Press. Written by David Lapham, with art by Gabriel Andrade. I don't know how to say anything. So this is David Laugham's ongoing werewolf series that he's doing for Avatar. And in true Avatar fashion, it is full of gruesome gore and guts. So this is, it takes place in a small town. The main character is an officer named Dale Chestnut. Let's see, it says, he's a lawman with a big bloody problem. Slaughtered civilians are turning up in the sleepy town of Cyprus, and the burden falls on him to end the carnage. No sooner does he begin his investigation than he finds himself violently drawn to a sexy, mysterious woman. So this is about the small town, the people living in it, and how they're dealing with these werewolf attacks that start happening. I've only read the first couple issues of this, but loved it. I've been waiting for the trade to come out. This is $19.99. It's 160 pages, so I'm not sure if what it collects, the first five or six, I would imagine, books. And as with a lot of Avatar books, you get it in trade, hardcover, or limited signed hardcover. And again, this is an ongoing, so they're also soliciting number 11, but personally, I'm waiting for the trade, so I'm really looking forward to this. I've enjoyed most of what David Laugham has done throughout his career, so if you like werewolves, or if you like gore, or if you like just Avatar books in general, this is a one to pick up.
And on page 258, we have a very familiar theme in comic books. All but one must die. We've got Deathmatch number 1 from Boom Studios, the superhero battle royale you can't get from Marvel or DC. A powerful and mysterious supervillain has imprisoned the world's greatest superheroes, forcing them to fight to the death until there's one victor. It's kill or be killed as we settle the score on all those hypothetical superhero matchups in the ultimate death match. We've got Paul Jenkins writing it, and it's drawn by Carlos Magno. I'm guessing this is going to be spoofing and having homage matchups between some fairly recognizable superhero archetypes, but the thing that really caught my eye here is this is one of these $1 Boom first issues. They give you a full-size first issue, 32 pages for $1. It's half off from DCBS, so for 50 cents, you know, you can't go wrong at that price, in my opinion. I'm going to get this first issue and read it, and if I like it, then I'll get more. But it's not much of a risk for even going into your comic shop and picking this up for a buck. So I really applaud Boom on their program of having these $1 tryout issues. It lets me just give a bunch of things a shot that for $3.99 I might think twice about. So I'll be there, and I want to see the deathmatch fights between relatively familiar superhero archetypes.
Next up on page 272 is something I'm going to take a shot and see if it clicks with me or not, and 50-50 it will or it won't. But, you know, you guys know that I'm mainly, you know, Marvel, DC. I get a lot of indie books, probably more than most people, but mainstream superhero stuff is where it's at for me. But every once in a while, I'll find something in the back half of previews that just kind of catches my attention and says, yeah, I'll give this a shot, see if it's any good. A couple of months ago, that was Scam number 1 from Comics Tribe. I read the first issue, really enjoyed that. Now this month, on page 272, we've got The Red 10 number 1 from Comics Tribe. And the premise here is when the world's greatest detective, Red, is murdered by her nemesis, the Oxymoron. The nation's foremost superhero team and her former sidekick band together to bring the villain to justice. However, the mission goes terribly wrong, and before the night's out, each of the 10 heroes, quote-unquote heroes, will pay dearly for past transgression. The Red 10 is a superhero spin on Agatha Christie's classic whodunit, And Then There Were None. I haven't read Agatha Christie's whodunit, And Then There Were None, but a murder mystery around what sounds like a female Batman-type character having been killed by a Joker analog, and that's just a guess on my part. It could be very different. It sounds like fun. You know, I'm going to try the first issue on this. It is a 10-issue miniseries. It's $3.99 cover price for 32 pages. And again, I liked the art quality over on Scam. Of course, that was written, drawn, and cover art by the same guy over on Scam. This is a totally different creative team, but I'm hoping that the guys over at Comics Tribe that are greenlighting the projects and deciding what to do have a fairly consistent take on what they would consider a good comic, even if it's different art style or writing style, but a level of quality there. I mean, I found that to be true over at Valiant, at Red 5 Comics, certainly, over at Big Dog Inc. And what I found is with some of these smaller publishers, if they've got similar sensibilities to me, I tend to like a lot of what they do. Maybe not everything, but enough that I'll give it a shot. And certainly the Red 10 seems like a different take on, you know, superheroes. We tend not to get the kind of the hardcore whodunits. And I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, I'm going to take a shot here. I recommend you guys check this out. You know, again, on page 272, see what you think of the cover, see what you think of the solicitation blurb, which is pretty much what I just read to you a minute ago. It's got some mature themes, but, you know, hey, I like finding something different, new, and exciting in the back half of previews. So, check this out. Check out Scam number 3 also. Again, the first issue of that I found fun. Premise there is it is a heist kind of a story, but with people with superpowers pulling the heist. And first issue, they didn't really lay out, so-and-so has this power, so-and-so has that. You kind of have to figure it out, which I found fun. So, again, Red 10 number 1 from Comics Tribe. They've also got Scam number 3 this month, Red 10, 50% discount through DCBS. Actually, no, correction, 45% discount through DCBS, bringing its price down to $2.19. And part of why it's a little bit less of a discount in the back half is, frankly, Diamond doesn't offer as good of a discount on the smaller publishers. It's a volume discount kind of a mentality on a lot of things, which is part of why it's an unlevel playing field, giving an advantage to Marvel and DC and a disadvantage to the guys in the back half, which is why when I see something like this, I want to point it out. I want to showcase it to you guys in case it's something you like and give it a shot.
And on page 292, we've got Plume number 1 from Devil's Due Entertainment. I just wanted to point this one out because it was it's a web comic. You can find it at plumecomic.com. You can read it online. It's a story set in the Old West about a girl named Vesper Gray and her supernatural companion, Korik. They're on a quest to recover her father's life work, and they encounter new friends and new foes and learn that the Wild West really does live up to its name. The interesting part here was some people that I know were backing this as a Kickstarter to help get it printed, and to get the webcomic printed. And I thought that the Kickstarter was a little excessively priced. They had a 5-issue digital subscription for $15. So, okay, you know, $3 a piece for the digital comics. That's not, you know, that unheard of. A little more than I like to pay for digital comics, but, you know, okay. But the print comics, it was 5 issues for $40. And I just thought, wow, that's a little excessive. I mean, the first one came autographed, but still, that's $8 a piece, you know, a little bit too much, too rich for my blood. But it did fund. It had a $24,500 goal. It made a little over $29,000 with 497 backers. And lo and behold, now we've got Plume number 1 for a $3.99 cover price. DCBS discount will put it at $2.19. Now, for $2.19, I'll get it. And the comics are done. You know, the Kickstarter, you know, paid to fund getting that done. So, you know, thank you to all the people who supported the Kickstarter. I'm now going to be able to benefit from that by being able to buy the comics here for a much lower price. But if you like Western, kind of Western supernatural kind of thing, if you're a fan of The Sixth Gun, for instance, you might want to try it out. Again, you can check out plumecomic.com and then check out the solicit on page 292 of the previews catalog.
Hi, this is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast with my next pick. This is on page 305 from Oni Press, Last Call, Volume 2, written and drawn by Vasilis Lolos. Now, I don't normally submit Volume 2s to the previous call or the previous show, but in this case I am because Volume 1 of Last Call came out in 2007. And this one's coming out in 2013. So really, what is that? 6 years between volumes. So I've been really waiting for the second volume of this for a long time. In fact, I've been waiting so long that I forgot what the first volume was about, so I had to go back and rewrite it to see if I, in fact, wanted to continue reading this book. The one thing I did remember about the first one is that it wasn't a one-and-done story. It was kind of a to-be-continued with a cliffhanger at the end. So, been waiting for the resolution of that cliffhanger for a while. And been looking forward to seeing the resolution of the story for a while. Now, one thing I don't know is whether this will actually resolve the story, or if there's going to be another 5-year wait for Volume 3. But, in any case, I'm going to be getting Volume 2 just because I want to continue reading the story. Which was quite enjoyable. First, I'll comment on the art. I really, really, really love Vasilis Lolos' art. He did another book that he didn't write, but he drew, which was Pirates of Coney Island. And he has done some other things, which I can't remember off the top of my head. He has done some other books, but those are his biggest ones. Certainly, I think this is his first longer length self-created book, I guess, written and drawn. So, I'll quit rambling and I will tell you what this is about. This starts out, I'll tell you what Volume 1 is and then we'll talk a bit about Volume 2. So Volume 1 starts out with these two kids who appear to be in their teens, maybe, I don't know, 15 years old or so, who are going for a joyride in their parents' car. They stole the car and they got their cigarettes and they're off ready to party. And they get, before they know it, they get hit by this, or we don't know if they got hit, but all of a sudden there's a flash of light and they appear on this ghost, on this train with all these weird creatures or the other inhabitants of this train. And they're walking around the train trying to figure out, okay, what's going on? How did we get here? And through the story, they get separated, and then it really follows one of the kids, Sam, and you get to meet several of the characters on this train, and he gets into some adventures on the train. And then, I'm not going to tell you where it leaves off, but actually they give it away in the solicit for the second volume. So if you don't want to know, don't read the solicit for the second volume. So this is going to pick up the story where it left off, and we're going to find out what happened to it's about what happened to the other kid. So something at the end, they reveal something about the other kid, and this one kind of continues that story. So we're going to find out what happened to this kid. I don't know if we're going to find out how they got on this train or what they're doing on this train or what this train is, but I'm really looking forward to continuing these kids' story and finding out what happens to them. Again, I really, really, the writing was really good, and I really enjoyed the story, so I'm definitely looking forward to it. I hope that it resolves some things, because I don't want to have to wait another 5 years before the next one, but I guess if I have to, I have to. This is a black and white digest size, 160 pages, and it's $12.99 from Oni Press.
And next up on page 322 is Archer and Armstrong number 5 from Valiant Entertainment. Really enjoyed the first issue. I thought the second issue was also great. I've got the third issue sitting here on my desk waiting to be read. That just came in my latest shipment from DCBS. But here in number 5, which is on, again, page 322, we get the start of the second story arc, and we get I don't know if it counts as the return or the introduction of the Eternal Warrior. Now, I was a big fan of Archer and Armstrong back in the day. I loved Time Walker. I loved the Eternal Warrior. These set of ancient brothers were a lot of fun back then. I've really been enjoying everything that the Valiant Entertainment crew has been coming out with these days. There is a level of quality there that I really respect and think they're just doing a great job on. This is written by Fred Van Lente. He's done a lot of great stuff. Manuela Lupacino is doing the art, doing some great stuff there. This is something that hopefully is the start of a second arc, is going to be a really good jumping on point. But frankly, it's only on issue 3 right now. You can pick up those issues in the local comic shop if you're lucky, or get them online pretty easily. And if you are a fan of Valiant back in the day and haven't checked out the relaunch, you really should. I would put Archer and Armstrong as one of the stronger titles, but that's kind of splitting hairs because really none of them are bad. I really enjoyed the first issue of Harbinger quite a bit. I thought Bloodshot was great. Exo had a little bit of a slow start, but it's turned out to be a really good series. So I think you can pick up certainly Archer and Armstrong number 5 and not be disappointed, but also pretty much anything from Valiant and not be disappointed. Now, it's a $3.99 cover price, but we got a 50% discount through DCBS, bringing it down to $1.99. Or you can do what I'm going to do, which is go get that Valiant bundle, which on the spreadsheet for DCBS is at row 1716, and you get 50% off all of the regular cover versions of all 5 Valiant titles this month. And I'm in whole hog on the Valiant stuff. For me, that was a no-brainer. Again, really recommend this stuff. If you've got a local store, I mean, I know we talk about the DCBS discounts through these things, but that's just because a lot of our listeners have access to DCBS. A lot of them shop through DCBS, so it just makes sense to point those out. But if you've got a local comic shop you like, by all means support them, because we need stores carrying great stuff like the Valiant books, even if they're mainly just a store that does stuff from the front half of previews or whatever. We need good comic shops out there, and I've shopped at a lot that were wonderful, and I fully supported them at the time. You know, for me, it makes more sense with the volume I'm getting for DCBS, but again, we're not trying to steer people away from the local comic shops. They're a vital part of the comic industry, without which I don't think the industry can survive as it currently is set up. And if you haven't been getting the Valiant stuff, one of the main reasons we need these stores out there is you can go to your local store and go pick up those early issues. It's great stuff. So support your stores, check out the Valiant stuff, and, you know, hopefully you found a couple of good picks through the clips like this that Bob, I, and our listeners have been doing.
Hey guys, it's Damien back with my last pick for the month, which is all the way in the back, which I haven't been to in so long, on page 346. This is actually outside of the comic zone, and it's in the books and magazines section. It is Warren Ellis's Gun Machine hardcover. Warren Ellis, as you all know, I'm a huge fan of. He wrote Global Frequency, which I mentioned earlier. This is his second novel that he's got coming out. So his first novel was Crooked Little Vein that came out a couple of years ago. This one's his second novel, and if anyone sort of follows him, you'll know that he's actually got an email list actually for this book and what he's doing with it and things like that as well. So I've been sort of super hyped on what's actually going to be happening here. I'm really looking forward to it coming out. So if you're after a novel, not a comic, this is one that I'm going to recommend. So it's all about a detective who had his partner killed, traces down the actual person that was doing it, and finds all these guns which are in this apartment, and each one can be linked back to a murder over the last 20 years. So something's going on there. There's some supernatural elements that seem to be brought into it as well. So there's sacrifices, all sorts of things. So if you're interested, and I would recommend getting this. I've loved Warren Ellis' stuff for a long time. And yeah, I'll be getting this one no matter what anyway. So check it out. As I said, it is on page 346. It's going to be $25.99 and it's a hardcover. Okay then, I'll let you go back to the guys.
So, it's interesting this month, Bob, with the total, because I don't do a strict budgeting exercise, but I usually try to aim around $500 total out of pocket. So, you know, once you factor in the discount, the shipping, all that, the bags, the boards and stuff, I mean, I can get easily around $720, $725 worth of stuff, or say 60 cents more than out of pocket, or 60 cents less or whatever, than $722.61 at retail would get me. Because I am just 60 cents under that $500 thing this month at this point. When I go through this exercise, I pull up the DCBS spreadsheet, I go through it, I mark stuff, and I mark a couple of things as a zero. Because there are a couple of things, it's like, well, you know, I'm just not sure. Sometimes, almost always during the previous teleconference, some of those zeros go to ones, sometimes some ones go to zeros. Because somebody will say, yeah, that's just not right for you or whatever. So there are a couple of things that very well may get on this list. We'll probably kick this order above the $500 mark. There's one or two I still want to get another issue or two of before deciding on that kind of thing. But it's interesting how, without really changing my reading habits, even though titles are coming and going left and right sometimes, my total, you know, usually centers right around that $500 mark. Sometimes it's 100 above, 100 below, depending on, you know, is there an artist edition I want from IDW, or is it just a slow month in general? So how's your total looking these days? I know you've been cutting back.
433. So that's one of the first times that I was, like, substantially below you, I'd say. You
know? How much of that, though, is still things like the busts and stuff like that? Have you been trimming on that
one,
side, too?
You know, this month I have in the 433 total, $66 of that is the Eagle Moss stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There were three Marvel ones this month, and I still like the Marvel ones. You know, there's a Giant Man one, which is like $21 because it's going to be like, you know, double size. There's Constrictor, a villain that I really like, and I don't get all the villains necessarily. And there's Wolfsbane, you know, so I like the New Mutants, especially, you know, the classic quote unquote New Mutants. So I'm getting that one too. So, and then I had stopped getting the DC ones because they had switched over to kind of new 52 versions of characters. But then the Lord of the Rings came up with this chess set. I'm like, nah, you know, something else for me to buy. So $12 a piece. I've got the Legolas, White Bishop, and the Witch King, who is actually the Black Queen, but I don't think there are any real females on Sauron's side of that conflict. So, you know, so that's $24. I got a Flaming Carrot hardcover. That's $35. And this is an interesting one because that was a Kickstarter. And the, you know, I think they had like 1,000 available, and or maybe 500 available. I'm not exactly sure, but they had some limited number available in the Kickstarter, and not that many people. I mean, it succeeded, but they had 500 or so left over at the end of the Kickstarter that were unclaimed by the Kickstarter. So, well, they're not going to just burn them or something. So they released them to Diamond. So that $50 hardcover is now discounted by DCBS, and I'm getting it for $35.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I'm getting an amazing Spider-Man Marvel Masterworks, which I believe is probably the last Spider-Man Marvel Masterworks I'll get. It's volume 15. It's up to issue 150-ish at this point. And I think we're getting far enough into the Bronze Age that I can just say, okay, I've got a sufficient quantity of Spider-Man in hardcover to get me going. And then there's a Milo Manara hardcover from Dark Horse coming out. So, I mean, right there, I mean, you take the Manara hardcover is $36. The Marvel Masterworks one is $42. And the Flaming Carrot is 35 right there. That's 112. And then when we add in the Eagle Moss figures, I'm looking at like $179 of my 433 is just on this tiny handful of things. So I still have that tendency. I mean, you remember back years ago, I mean, I had a total one month that was like $1,200 after discount, you know, like, woo, because I used to just get, you know, they would, for a point in time, they were putting out two Marvel Masterworks every month. They were putting out two DC Archives every month. You know, they were putting out, you know, maybe a statue I was getting, and, you know, some months even two Bowen busts that I was getting. And, you know, it's just, wow, this is pretty tough. So a lot of things inflated my, my total. Now it's a little, you know, less because, you know, I get anybody who collects, you know, you're going to get to this dilemma, you know, which is, you know, on the Bowen stuff, I still get the busts when they come out, but Bowen tends to run so late on putting these things out. And I'm in the Bowen Collectors Club anyway. And I get a discount when I order direct from them. Like this month, there was a 5-pack of X-Men busts. I ended up just buying them from Bowen because Bowen will not charge me until they ship. Whereas, I mean, it could very easily be a year from now before that set of busts sees the light of day, maybe 9 months. So instead of paying DCBS now and, you know, having them sit on my money for 9 months to a year, I decided I get like virtually the same discount. I have to pay shipping. It ends up costing me about on something that's, you know, a couple of $100, you know, I might pay $15 more, but I'd almost rather just pay the $15 more and not get charged until the thing's actually produced.
Were those actually in this previews though?
Yes, they were.
Okay. So in theory, that would not literally count towards your DCBS total, but towards your monthly purchasing.
Right.
Okay.
Some amorphous point in the future, because it certainly wouldn't be towards what I'm going to buy in December. Most of this other stuff that's on my order is at least going to come out in December or sometime close thereafter. I would be really surprised if those X-Men busts, it's the whole original team,
right?
Original costumes and stuff. I mean, if that sees the light of day before April or May or of 2013, I would be really surprised.
My point being is if you didn't have that other option, those items would have been on this total.
I would have them on here and it would add, you know, quite a bit. You know, and then IDW, the artist edition they got, which is a fabulous one. It's a reprint of the Rocketeer artist edition, which I would encourage anyone who didn't get that when it originally came out to give it some thought, because it's got all of Dave Stevens' beautiful, beautiful art for the Rocketeer, all original art size. You can see blue pencil notes on there. You can see where he used whiteout in some cases. It's great. But I got it when it first, I got the first print, so I didn't need to get that.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because, well, you were talking about all the big ticket items you were getting. I filtered my list and pulled up the top 5 items, most expensive items I'm paying for in this order form. Now, I'm going to exclude the Weekly Comics shipping fee of $12.95 or whatever to get to my top 5. Obviously, the most expensive item is that Rocketeer Artist Edition, because I didn't get it the first time around. So I'm very much looking forward to it. I've seen yours. It is beautiful. And that was really what kind of sold me on the concept of the Artist Edition. I think it's a great series of books that IDW is coming out with. I hope they really are able to continue with that and expand the artists they do that with. I'd love to see a John Byrne one, a George Perez one. I mean, there's tons I'd like to see. So that was my most expensive item. My next, and that was, $93.75 out of pocket. My next most expensive item was Amazing Spider-Man number 700, which is, $7.99, but after the 50% discount, $3.99. So,
quite second,
second most expensive item, not counting the $12 weekly shipping, under $4. From there, it dropped to, $3.24 for the Bleeding Cool magazine, and then a tie for fourth and fifth place of $2.99 for, Secret Service and that, Hip Flask, Ouroboros, however you pronounce that.
Ouroboros.
That, yeah. So, really, aside from the shipping and the artist edition, nothing over $4 for me. Because again, I'm mainly getting the monthly comics and stuff like that. I tend not to get the big ticket items, but that's also, you know, how I wind up with, you know, 40 or 50 comics a week in my shipment. There's just a ton of this stuff. I really like reading it. I like getting the big picture, and I like being able to follow the ongoing adventures, even if I think something's at a creative, you know, lull or whatever. Because when it picks back up, I'm guaranteed to be on board and have the context to fully enjoy it.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to point out, before Watchmen, they have a 2-issue series, Moloch, that's been added. and they put in the catalog this month Moloch number 2. They did not put Moloch number 1, which I believe is going to ship the previous month to kind of fill in a slot that was missed when Joe Kubert passed away, and they had to readjust the schedule because he was not able to do the fourth issue of Night Owl.
Mm-hmm.
But number 1 was never officially on a previews catalog. I shot an email to DCBS and they actually followed it up by putting an alert out. It's not on the spreadsheet, but if you go to the DCBS website, once you upload your spreadsheet, you can find Before Watchmen Moloch number 1 in the DC section and add it to your order on the website, which I did when I uploaded my spreadsheet for the month. So just for people who are pre-ordering books, not through a comic shop, because a comic shop, obviously, you just say, hey, I want to get the Before Watchmen books. I want to get Moloch, and they'll pull it for you. You can pull it off the rack or whatever. But if you're using DCBS or Sci-Fi Genre or Mail Order Comics or in these kind of places, it's worth finding out how they're going to handle allowing you to order issue number 1. For DCBS, it's, you know, after you have your order created, go on the website and add that issue number 1 to your order if you're interested in it.
That's really good information to have. I wish they had included that on the order form. Because even having been reminded of it now, there's 50-50 chance I'll forget. So feel free to remind me of it again, Bob.
Well,
particularly, you know, around the 20th, 24th of the month when the order forms due.
I'm going to give you another DCBS tip, okay? And that is, in the past, when DCBS gets allocated on stuff, they will give out what they will fill orders in precedence of when your order was entered into their system. They do not give precedence, much though John and I would like to have that happen. It's not, you know, they're like, it's fair that way. They don't give precedence to the people who buy $500 a month. You know, they give precedence explicitly on when you ordered it. So, you know, in the past, that's come back to bite me when I've ordered a variant comic or a limited edition book, you know, where, you know, something's limited to 300 copies worldwide or something, and, you know, they got allocated and they only got 3 copies, and I maybe uploaded at the end of the month and I didn't get one because of that. And it's like, well, I'm not happy about that, but at the same time, I can understand, you know, fair is fair. And for limited, you know, if you want to buy variant cover comics, which they have offered every month, you know, you can get 1 in 10, 1 in 20. They charge a lot of money for them, you know, like the Spider-Man 700. There's apparently a 1 in 700 copy of that one that is $350. Yeah, you know, that's a lot of money, right? Abyss Lord on the forum, he posted that some buddy of his ordered that and was told, we think we're only going to get 3 copies of it, and you're number 6 in line. And this is like within 4 days of, you know, the site going live.
Let's think about that for a second, though. 3 copies of a 1 in 700 variant. That means they think they're pretty confident they can probably sell 2,000, 2,100 copies of the regular version, or, you know, afford that to get that.
Yes.
So, you know, that's not unreasonable for them to say, yeah, we're only going to get a handful. Most stores are not even going to come close to getting 1.
I posted on the forum about that, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, how many stores are going to order 700 copies? There's got to be like a handful of them, right? I mean, I'm thinking under 20 stores would probably even end up with a copy of this variant. But then on the other hand,
depending how much you think you can get for it, I mean, you can buy them and essentially literally burn off if you needed to the other copies. But I mean, 700 comics?
Let's say 50 stores got one. I mean, are they going to actually just print 50 of them? I'm more of a mind that, you know, at that point, they're going to probably print a couple of hundred, maybe 200 of them, maybe 100 of them, just in general. And then there's going to be extras that they'll do with whatever they do with. Maybe they'll sell them through Dynamic Forces. Maybe they'll, you know, give them out as premium somewhere or something. I mean, I'm guessing Marvel is not going to just print, you know, 40 or 50 copies of whatever that cover is. Anyway, my point is that, you know, that's the kind of thing. But where it comes to roost on your common people, common, quote unquote, right, is sometimes Diamond just allocates and kind of screws over a store on a regular book. Hawkeye number 2, DCBS got allocated on Hawkeye number 2. They did not get enough copies to fill all the orders on Hawkeye number 2. And I got an email saying, hey, you're not getting Hawkeye number 2. You know, we'll get a second print and you can have the second print if you want. Well, I went to my local shop and I picked it up. So, you know, fine. Then a couple of weeks later, I heard that they were allocated on Flash number 0. And some of the people were on the forum saying, yeah, I'm not getting Flash number 0 now. And that was a problem for them. Well, you know, again, the whole thing is if you want to be one of the people who doesn't get allocated, upload your order earlier in the month. And John, I mean, I don't know if you got allocated on any of those like I did.
I got hit by it on Think Tank number 1, and I wound up with a second print, which, you know, frankly, I'm fine with. I read comics. I don't, speculate on the value.
So
yeah. Joke will be first on me in 20 years when that thing's worth a bazillion dollars, yeah. But, you know, hey.
I just like first prints. But, you know, for me, I tend to upload my order early in the month, as early as is practical. I will go through my list like I've done here. I have already uploaded my spreadsheet as we record this. And, you know, you can go online and, I mean, I do this all the time. So like I see something else, I'll just go online. I just, you know, open the order for Reddit and I just, you know, add or remove things from it using the website interface as opposed to just editing the spreadsheet. So I just like to get my name in the queue as early as possible at this point with them. It's just, you know, my thing. But I throw that out as a service to the listeners, just so people who are DCBS customers are aware that that's something that happens and is available.
Well, what I don't get, I mean, for like a 1 in 700 thing like the Amazing Spider-Man thing, I totally get that. I mean, they're only going to order so many, it's bad business or whatever otherwise. But for something like the Flash Zero and the others you were mentioning, if the order got in on time from DCBS to Diamond, why couldn't Diamond fill that order? If Diamond got their order to the publisher in time, why couldn't they fill that order?
Don't know.
It seems very odd.
It does seem very odd, especially when it was, you know, almost 2 weeks in a row that they did this, and I was kind of speculating. I mean, it's like Diamond just like screwing with DCBS for some reason. You know, it's like they've got to be one of their top accounts,
I would think.
I mean, they've got thousands of customers. I mean, just from the standpoint of Amazing Spider-Man, you know, okay, well, there's 2,100 copies of Spider-Man. Not every one of their customers is going to buy a copy of Spider-Man, you know?
And for anyone who's thinking that maybe Diamond's sliding them because they're like, well, they're an online retailer, they're not a real comic store or whatever. One thing I picked up at the last Comic-Con or two, talking to some of the people like Joe Field and Amanda Emmert at Comics Pro, they know Cameron at DCBS. They respect Cameron at DCBS. He's a member. He's got a brick-and-mortar store. I mean, so it's not like he's a disreputable thing or anything of the sort. It just seems like really bad business to take somebody who is expanding the reach of comics to anyone with a mailbox, essentially, and shorting, you know, them on comics. It's just stupid.
Maybe Diamond does the same thing that DCBS does, and they fill orders in the exact order of when they get them or something, and DCBS, you know, there's other people who get their orders in earlier or something. I don't know.
Yeah, don't know.
But anyway, it's an interesting piece of information. I heard that, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of odd, you know, that they're getting shorted. Oh, the other thing, you know, we were talking about the IDW artist editions. Well, in some cases, you know, those artist editions are, you know, limited production. Like I know when the Wally Wood artist edition came out, that was a very hot commodity. You know, that kind of hit. And I think they really underestimated the interest in Wally Wood's work. And a lot more people right near the end decided that they wanted that artist edition than had placed original orders. And that book ended up getting allocated. And not everybody who ordered it necessarily got a copy. So again, I got my copy, no problem, because I had uploaded my order earlier. I, in general, had always tried to upload my order pretty soon after the previews call.
Mm-hmm.
But now I kind of make an effort to, within a couple of days of the site going live at DCBS, of taking an opportunity to go through, fill out the spreadsheet, and then just upload it and get myself into the queue for things.
Makes sense. It's unfortunate, but, you know, again, not DCBS's fault.
Yep.
Anything else? Or does that pretty much do it?
Does it for me.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.